The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is right now. Stick the index finger into the air, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed, you've made it. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning on a Cowbell Friday. And yeah, take out that cowbell if you got it right now. Bang that thing a little bit. Bang the cowbell. We need more cowbell. We all need more cowbell, do we not? Eric Bledsoe, bang that cowbell right now and pull on the Jordache Gaines and pull them up real tight, boy. The weekend is here. Party time. And it won't be the same without you.
Everybody's working for the week.
Man, that feels good, does it not? Good morning, brothers. Good morning, Command and Control. Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning, man.
Are you ready? Are you jacked up for a Cowbell Friday? A three-day weekend. Yeah, baby. Brush it back now.
You want a piece of my heart?
That Keith Partridge hair is so fine and feathered, is it not? Oh, man. Three-day weekend, Douglas. You jacked up. Come on now. Just a little bit.
I am doing the craziest thing. I am playing golf twice this weekend. So
how about that
like,
right
tee
now?
Tee times are already set.
Okay.
Jacked up for that. And then this weather is still crazy. So I made sure I got the tee times in early because I like heat because it keeps people away from the golf course. But for some reason, everybody is traveling this weekend because I think everyone assumed it would be 105.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Kids are out of school, so it's the first time to get to San Diego or something like that. Or get to, I don't know, do you go to Flagstaff in the snow? Do you want, I don't think you want to get away from 85 in Phoenix to get to Flagstaff snow. I think that's different.
I have no idea, but I do know that it has snowed, right? It has snowed even later. It has snowed up in Flagstaff even later, but it was like in 1907 or something
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't hold me to that, ladies and gentlemen, all right? Don't hold me to that, but yeah, this is freaky what's going on right now. But I would say freaky good because we all know what's coming, we not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
Feel free to tweet us at Doug and Wolf 98.7 if you're doing something cool this weekend. We one of the things that we're doing today at the end of the show I was a little taken aback by this, but I think a lot of you have seen the Twitter trend, and these are, you know, the Ice Bucket Challenge was the original to fight amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and it was so well done, well thought out, funny, great, classic, everything. Well, now there's been a lot of knockoffs, and since they're all for charity, every knockoff is good, but Crack Cancer has started, in which you crack a raw egg on your head.
Okay.
And allow the wonderful yolk to soak in.
Yeah.
And then stand there with the yolk dripping on your head and you announce who you are now challenging to do the Crack Cancer Challenge.
Okay.
Well, Governor Doug Ducey of the great state of Arizona stared down Derek Hall, the president and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Governor, good
and
morning.
Challenged him. And Derek did the worst ever crack of an egg that's happened in the challenge.
Gee, Hall, what are you doing?
Because it was like he was afraid to mess up his hair, and he barely hit himself, and he didn't crack the egg the first time. Like, he didn't man up and crack the egg.
Well, we all know why he didn't do it. We all know why he was very, very careful in how he was going to break the egg on his head, because you don't want to smash it like we're going to smash
it. Yeah, we're going to earn it.
Oh, we're going to smash
it. So he did it then a second time.
Get ready. The yolk is going to fly in your eye.
And it kind of got on him a little bit, and then he challenged four people, which I thought there was like a cutoff. Like, you're allowed to challenge two or something like that.
At some point in time.
Like, why don't you just call out the entire Arizona Cardinals, you know, or something like
that. It did almost take him four times to break the egg in his head.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe he got a concussion from every attempt. But he called out the Doug and Wolf Show.
Yes.
And then World Series hero Luis Gonzalez and Coyotes legend Shane Doan.
Right.
Now,
Why did you stop there?
I stopped for a second.
Why did you stop there?
Because I do, listen, full disclosure here. In the art of David Peralta, and practice your humble.
Yes, practice your humble.
Is it unbelievably cool for us to ever be said, you guys and Gonzo and Doan? Okay, that is, yeah, that's awesome.
Secondly,
I was thrilled how cool this is when
don't
it comes
to... Don't
let
it go to your head like the yoke, Douglas.
When it's jersey retirement. I mean, think about it. Now, of course, Bellbrook High School does not care about my jersey, but you have Shane Doan's number 19 retired.
Doaner.
You have Gonzo's number 20 retired.
Gonzo.
And you have your number 24 retired.
Yeah. A-Dub.
Well, the number's retired.
Yes.
So we have all four of you with a jersey. I mean, A-Dub. That's really cool.
You know, the worst thing about A-Dub, just the fact that he looks so doggone professional in that uniform, did he not? I mean, this is a man, honestly. I did not look like A-Dub in the uniform, and that has always bothered me, ladies and gentlemen. There's no doubt about that. Looked like this blob for the most part with a big neck roll and everything else. A-Dub went out there and would absolutely destroy you, the gas man, as we all know, right? And... this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I am really excited to do this. Who are you going to call out, by the way?
Who
are you going to call out? I'm going to call out A-Dub.
I thought you were.
All right, I'm just telling you right now.
That's awesome.
I'm calling A-Dub. Just get ready. I'm calling you out.
That's good. I thought about, if you think of the United States of America and all 50 states, name two college coaches of college basketball. In any state, just pick two out of any state.
Yeah.
And then have a big 2-on-2 tournament. We would kill everybody.
What do you mean?
We got Bobby Hurley and Dan Marley.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We would kill.
Right.
We would win.
Oh, no, that'd be good, yeah.
So I decided that I'm calling out our Maricopa County coaches, go Lopes, go Devils.
Okay.
And I'm going after Bobby Hurley and Dan Marley.
All right. Boy, that, yes.
Maloney?
Someone has to call out Kyler Murray.
Somebody has to call out Kyler
I feel
Murray.
Like you guys have to.
Okay. Well, Douglas, maybe. I mean, I'm, you know, A-Dub, seriously. A-Dub Wilson. You know,
I like
seriously, A-Dub walking around, retired 24.
Yeah,
jersey.
Especially with a retired jersey.
You know.
Maloney, you could do it with us and call out Kyler Murray. Come on.
No, Derek Hall called out Doug and Wolf.
That's true.
Hosts.
Yeah, I guess he did. So that's now, if you would like to nominate someone, the Twitter handle is at DuganWolf987. If there's somebody that you want to say, no, I want you guys to call this out. If you beat ours, I'll consider changing mine.
Okay, but I will as well.
I'm going Marley and Bobby Hurley as the two people I'm calling out.
So you are? You're going two. You're going double deuce.
Yeah, I think you're allowed to go two, but I think the four from Derek Hall is crazy.
I think you're out of line.
I texted Shane Doan and Gonzo. I'm out of line.
On the crack the cancer. You're out of line. Yes.
Shane Doan and Gonzo. And Doaner said he would have done it in a heartbeat, but he's on a trip with his son.
Okay.
And if there's anybody in this city that's done enough for charity,
yes.
Donors, unless he films something on his trip.
Oh, I see. You're vacationing at La Colisée. Is that what you're
Gonzo,
saying? You can't break the egg over your head. I see.
Gonzo sent me the embarrassed and shocked emoji, and that was it.
Okay.
So
embarrassed and shocked.
Well, when I invited Gonzo, hey, why don't you come down at 10 o'clock this morning when we crack the eggs on our head and just do it with us?
Okay.
And I got two emojis from him. Like, well, what does that do?
Yeah.
Does that mean you are coming? Or
who
does that
knew
mean
that Gonzo was emoji man? Who knew that right there?
I have.
Because my older brother Craig, you know how much I love and respect my older brother Craig. Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, what a model this man has been to me my entire life. And yet, at the same time, he's emoji man.
That
just
bothers me. That bothers me.
Just write the word. Just seriously. Write the word, and by the way, use a comma.
I'm okay with anybody under 30 using emojis. I'm okay with any woman using emojis. Call me sexist all you want. I have a problem with 30 anybody at 35 to 70 year old men using emojis.
What is going on?
There should be a rule.
What is going on right now? Just knock it off with the emojis, all right? I'm so busy right now. I can't even. I'm going to let you decipher what this means.
Well, I know what they mean. I just don't like it.
Still.
Except when Gonzo says
them. I'm going to use hieroglyphics to actually communicate with you.
Now, if you want to see what men do.
And now, It's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
I'm just too busy,
man. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
I can't type the word and.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron
Watch it.
Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning, of course, is the amount of people that are born and raised in Wisconsin that are upset to find out their beloved quarterback will lose to Tom Brady once again. As Tom Brady is probably the greatest beer chugger I've ever seen, and Aaron Rodgers goes nowhere near. I accept him getting blown away by his own offensive lineman, though. That's actually a smart move.
A man's got to know his limitations, and Aaron Rodgers knows his limitations, and I thought he was hysterical. Holding his finger up. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wait
Somebody
a minute.
Slow down the beer
Wait
chugging.
Wait for it.
At least he was competed. Awesome. At least he competed. I do have to give him that. I'm highly entertained by somebody that says, I want to race you, but slow down while we race.
Number four.
NBA playoffs. Giannis not going to fold.
Best team in the league, man. We're not going to fold. We're going to go and go and give everything we got. We're not going to go there. And even they said, you know, they set a great tone and they come out and hit us in the mouth first. We can't fold.
19 points off of turnovers for Toronto. Toronto made 25 free throws. Milwaukee only shot 18.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary. Nevermore. Oh, baby. The Raven is perched. Is he not, ladies and gentlemen?
And remember, the winner of Game 5 wins 93% of the time winning the series. You really going to be able to come back on this, Milwaukee?
Number two.
How about number three?
Number three.
Thank you, Vince. Nick Bosa.
Grade one hamstring injury, a minor hamstring strain, but the Niners are going to keep him down for a couple of weeks. They have mini camp June 11th to the 13th, so it's a strong possibility that we won't see Bosa back on the field until training camp.
And so it begins with Nick Bosa.
Not going to see it until training camp.
Number two.
This is interesting. Booker, no one notices you're not good enough to be on any of the teams in the NBA of the final awards. Monty Williams?
Devin, he's an offensive machine, and so I don't want to get it in his way.
Mm.
The fact that he received one vote, just a little scary, isn't it? One vote.
That's tree falling in the forest.
More on this as the show unfolds.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning. Wow. We just had the general manager on Wednesday saying, I don't think it really helps calling somebody up. Where are they going to go? And now here somebody comes. The minor leagues home run leader is no longer in the minor leagues. D-backs next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. For it. A lot of you on Twitter saying, hey, I want this, I want this. And the Diamondbacks are giving it to you. And boy, does this create a very interesting dynamic and what a dramatic change from last year. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If you didn't get the chance to hear it 2 days ago, we had the general manager, Mike Hazen, on the show. And he had two kind of points of view. One is, and he didn't say this, but one is he's sick of it. I mean, that was kind of how he felt, is you could tell what was going on was driving him crazy.
How to fix it. I think, honestly, I know there's we talked too about how we could round out the edges and the guys that are performing in AAA. And
what he was talking about is, do I go to AAA and make changes, or do I let these guys figure it out? Because he used last year as an example.
Yeah.
He said our horrific offense on May, we were the best offense in June. So did we learn through May to become better? Yet he didn't sound like a guy that wanted to wait.
Just rest assured that we're reacting, I think, appropriately given the circumstances, but share a lot of the frustration that I think you guys would express as well as the fans.
Well, it was announced yesterday by Gambo that Kevin Krohn is being called up. And the reason why this is such an interesting move is, yes, he's earned it. When you're the minor league home run leader and you've had five straight years of 20 home runs in the minors, and one of those years is already this year, he's already got 20 home runs, he's earned it. The catch is, Christian Walker had a lot to do with why you were successful in April. If you believe in him, don't you have to let him get through his own slump? And you're also going against a philosophical issue with this organization.
Yeah.
They've always had three catchers.
Yes.
So are you sending a catcher down? I mean, there's so much meat on this bone that the one thing it shows is the Diamondbacks are not going to, as an organization,
yeah,
they're not going to sleep through May like they did last year.
You know what's so interesting about this, of course, you expect him to actually take at-bats from Christian Walker. There's no doubt about that, right? And it's always been my belief that Christian Walker was going to be on a short leash. And yet, at the very same time, that was the thing that Torrey Lovello told him, no, you're not on a short leash. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
You're our guy.
You don't have to go five for
exactly.
three. Is
five
what he
for
said.
Four is what he said, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to do that. In some ways, Christian Walker was the face of the Diamond back surprise start, was he not, ladies and gentlemen? He was the face of it. To me, he embodied everything that was the first 33 games of the season when they had a 20-13 record. 20 surprise! Was that not a surprise to everybody? It was a surprise in the Wolf League compound. I can tell you that right now. How do you lose Paul Goldschmidt? How do you lose Patrick Corbin? How do you lose AJ Pollock and somehow get better? That was the question right there, and that's exactly what they did. 33 games. That's a pretty large sample size as well. So he was the face of that. Much better offense as well
mm-hmm.
than anyone saw coming. Top 10 offense in terms of batting average, in terms of runs, in terms of home runs. Top 10 through the first 33 games of the
season.
And
just like when Goldie called up, everybody said his defense isn't very good, and all of a sudden Goldie's defense was fine. Why did everybody say that? A lot of people looked at Christian Walker and said, well, he's a defensive liability. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't at all.
And no, he hasn't been. And no, he is not.
Christian Walker was the face of the Diamondbacks' start to me for those reasons. A much better offense than expected. The 20-13 record, and then a first baseman not named Goldschmidt was producing and doing it in clutch times of the game. That's what Christian Walker was. Woke. Now he's asleep.
It's interesting to me that this general manager group, Mike Hazen, Jared Porter, Amiel Sade, they two of them actually played baseball. One of them in the minors, and Mike Hazen, Jared Porter, played it in college. And yet they are totally new school analytic guys. But what's happened over time in the major leagues over the course of the last 10 to 15 years, it used to be you go to the minors, and until you prove you're ready, then you come to the majors. And a lot of teams just flipped that and said, no, we got to be patient. We got to give everybody time to actually develop at the major league level. Like you sit in the majors. And this is a very old school approach, because when you look at this roster, everybody's falling in a hole. Christian Walker stinks right now. But almost everybody does. This is not a Christian Walker problem.
Yeah, you were bringing this up yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Everybody has fallen on their face for the most part, and yet when you call up a new first baseman, who granted plays third, and granted
he does.
You have really zero bench, when John Ryan Murphy or Alex Avila are your offensive threats off the bench, you have none. And it's so interesting that you have, if you're Christian Walker, you know you're being stared down right now. And that's old school. It's old school to say, I'm calling up somebody with the potential to replace you. New school is, no, let him learn up here. Let him learn.
You just would think Christian Walker at 28 years of age right now doesn't need to be prodded poked. I honestly believe that, right? I mean, you would think there's no way in the world he's going out there and not trying, as a matter of fact.
Well, there's a difference between not trying and being an idiot.
What do you mean?
There's a huge difference there. Like Christian Walker had an at-bat in the game, and he is either pointlessly without confidence or stupid, and I didn't know what. He had a 3-1 count, and this is really like elevated baseball, so I hope I don't bore anybody, but he had a 3-1 count, and the pitcher threw him a high curveball. Now, when you're up 3-1, I know you know this, Wolf, but when you're up 3-1, you pick a pitch that is your favorite pitch in your favorite location, and if it's not there, you're not even swinging at it. And unless you, so you're either being stupid with no plan to even swing at it. And what did he do? He popped it up foul. Or you're so scared. Now, you don't go up there saying you're scared, but here's how you hide it. I can't let him get two strikes on me. Mm. I've struck out so many times. I can't let him get two strikes on me. So then you swing at a pitch you know you shouldn't be swinging at. When he swung at that pitch, I guarantee you, for the average Joe, you're like, why would you care that a guy swung at one pitch? But if you're a general manager, a manager, you see that, you know that guy's scared. He's scared of striking out. He's worried about two strikes, and he's swinging when he has no business, because who says it's 3-1, I'm waiting for a high curveball?
Yeah, nobody says that right there, but I will tell you this, that he has swung through a lot of high fastballs.
That's true,
well.
Too. That's
right
true, too.
By him.
So I'm amazed that this team has taken this big of a philosophical shift. You might be saying, so what? They called up a minor league rookie. Why is this a big deal? But when last year May was happening, it was always, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Now they're saying, we need action. That's a huge change.
That is. That's a paradigm shift.
And it kind of excites you a little bit. What also excites you is one of our favorite football people in the universe, Chris Spielman, Fox NFL insider and analyst, former Detroit Lion and one of the great linebackers ever. We'll talk about the changing of the game. Is it the right move to protect players from the Oklahoma drill, or is it the wrong move when they're not getting exposed by it? That's next, 90 on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I'm sorry, I laugh every time. Every time. Because it brings back the memory.
I cannot wait to talk to our next guest because I have zero idea where he's going to take today's topic. This is Chris Spielman, one of the best linebackers ever, and the reason why this is his walk-up music, if you've never heard the story, is there's about 40-some-odd people preparing to play in a Pro Bowl at Aloha Stadium.
Yes.
Two of them are in the bowels of the stadium listening to Pink Floyd getting fired up to play.
Like it was a Super Bowl.
Everybody else is wondering why they are not on the beach. And that is Chris Spielman and Ron Wolfley. And
bonafide tough guy, Chris Spielman, fight you to the ground with blood under his nails.
Well, Chris has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Chris, does your family give you a big walk-up and welcome the way we do when you come home?
That's just a scowl. Yeah.
Chris, it's how you doing, brother?
And of course, their palms are up and hands are out. You know, empty my wallet.
That's oh, right. Yeah, that's true. That's
hey,
true.
Don't worry. That's why I played 11 years, just so I can give you guys $20 bills to go to Chipotle when I got a refrigerator full of food sitting there. But hey, go out and eat and waste my money. I don't care.
Spiels, where do we find you this morning, my brother? Where are you?
I'm training my nephew. He's 13 years old. Put him through his first workout.
There you go.
Boy, that's going to be nasty, isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, he made it through. The devil was speaking to him, telling him to tap out, but he fought through it. I put on the Elvis song, a little less conversation, a lot more action. So
he carries the Spielman gene? Is that what you're saying?
That's fantastic.
Well, yeah, he's an inherited gene, but his dad, supposedly, his dad tells me he was a really good athlete. His dad was number 22 for Youngstown Cheney High School.
Wow.
Also won a Little League World Series baseball pitcher, running back. So I'm trying to get him going right now.
Nice.
It's all good, man.
Well, great. Now, the reason why I'm so interested in talking to you is because you have been a really strong advocate when you are talking about the game, when you're doing NFL games for Fox. You will say specifically, that's a hit, we're trying to get out of the game. And then other times you go crazy and fall in love with the big hit. So you want to keep football while you're trying to protect the player at the same time. Wolf has struggled mightily in the last 2 days with the Oklahoma drill possibly being eliminated. When you heard that, what did you think?
I haven't done the Oklahoma drill since the playing local midget football league Lions when I was 9 and 10. I think there's much more effective ways of teaching tackling and techniques and toughness. I always tell my kids actually that change is coming, and either you embrace change or change will eat you up. So you have to be able to embrace change. I'm not a big fan of, that drill does nothing as far as getting myself better. It might test somebody's will or somebody's toughness. But I think there's way other ways of doing that besides the old-fashioned Oklahoma drill where you guys have guys, what, laying back-to-back with their helmets. The coach blows the whistle. Everybody gets up and runs and smashes into each other. I am a firm believer in teaching proper techniques, and the game can be just as physical and just as violent as long as we remember to keep our eyes up and our head up and we wrap up. And so I could care less. Like I said, I had to think back to what the heck the Oklahoma drill was.
Yeah, Spiels, you know I love you, man. I could not disagree with you anymore. I really could not. I mean, honestly, well, I think absolutely. No, absolutely, it's fine. Of course it is. I think it actually separates the wheat from the chaff. I think you find out immediately who actually has that will to actually stick their face in there, stick their face into the fan with their head up, of course, and who does not. It's just me, my take on that. But the football universe groans and moans, does it not? Because it's in a state of flux right now like we've never seen.
Well, I think, you know, they're trying. I think, for example, the defensive pass interference call going to the replay booth. I mean, first of all, it's so subjective, and different guys call it different ways. Mm-hmm. I just worry about the biggest thing that I'm concerned about is delaying the game. Mm-hmm. And it turns into college football. We're going to have four-hour games, which is awful. It's just too long. But just to go back to toughness, I think you can find toughness. First of all, when you get to the NFL, you're usually already separated the wheat from the chaff, by those players, right? I mean, they don't get to the NFL without having some type of level of toughness. Now, if they decide to turn it down or become China dolls or soft serve ice cream when they get to the NFL, they get exploited. They get exploited by their teammates, or they'll get exploited or called out in the film room. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you have other guys depending on you to do your job and you got a contract for $10 million a year and this guy isn't doing his job so you can do your job, there's going to be a big issue and a big problem. So it's always been my theory that once a player reaches the NFL, there's a certain accountability that is that player will be held to by not coaches or general managers or owners or fans, but by his own teammates, because those teammates are counting on him to do their job. Mm-hmm. And if he's not doing it, they will be called out, at least in the locker rooms that I've been in. If we had a DB that turned it down, that DB was embarrassed and exploited in a meeting.
But I would say,
and then guess
Chris,
what? All of a sudden he starts tackling.
I would say, though, that not every linebacker, Chris, that I faced was a tough guy. Not every linebacker was. I think it's a falsehood to assume that every guy that plays, especially even in the NFL, is tough. I don't believe that.
Is that the responsibility?
Falls on them.
Responsibility of the guy who picked him. That's responsibility of the coach. That's responsibility of the own player himself. And that's responsibility of the teammates around him. If he's not tough, or if he's not making a tough play, or he's not sacrificing his body so that in an eight-man box so that he can take on the fullback, turn it to the outside where the on-block player is, then that's on the other guys. If they let guys get away with that crap, that's on them.
We can't
say that the whole game of football is all of a sudden soft served. We can't, because it's not.
That's Chris Spielman, linebacker, one of the great ever, talking hardcore football with Wolf. If I look at this, Chris, from a total fan point of view, somewhat media, but almost all fan, that is, could I sell you on the NFL going to the Players Association and saying, I'm going to give you free health care for life, and go back to the gladiator mentality? Now, I don't mean total cheap shots to the head, but I'm worried about the proliferation of offense, and I believe a lot of it comes from, I can't hit your quarterback unless I ask nicely before I get there. I can't hit your wide receiver because he instead of waiting for him to touch the ball, I have to wait for him to know that I'm here, and I can't do a blindside block on you. It's now my job to pay attention whether or not you're looking at me. I would rather say, I want old school football back and the hits back, but I acknowledge the damage it can do. So I want to pay you more money and I want to make sure I take care of you for the rest of your life. Do you think the Players Association would say, okay, that's fair? Or would they say, no, this is a bad idea because you're just creating gladiators out there and not football players?
I don't think it's that simple of a choice.
Okay.
And look, I'm all about the game, right? I'm also a realist. And so if people come and see the great Hines Ward come take out a defensive lineman or a linebacker in pursuit, or they come to see Aaron Rodgers throw touchdowns.
Yeah.
You think that, what is it, Chandler Jones from the Cardinals? Well, boy, he just took that offensive lineman and headbutted the crap out of him, knocked him out of the game. Think anybody notices that? Or did they draft Kyler Murray to help a offense that is horrific? You know,
yep.
So we got to live in the reality that we are in. The money is made by the quarterbacks. The excitement is to come watch the quarterbacks. And so it would be idiotic for the league not to protect their main moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes business sense. I'm all for what we're saying, but let's, you know, what people say they want and what they actually really want is in, I think, direct contrast.
Yeah, you're right about
that. In my opinion.
You're right about that.
Really bothers me, Spiels, and I got to ask you this before you go, but just the fact they've eliminated the blindside block. Stop and think about that.
Yeah.
Now stop and think about that. I have to make sure you're looking at me before I de-cleat you. You have to be kidding me. I'm telling my guys, it's going to change how you pursue a ball carrier. Don't ever look at anything but the guy carrying the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a little – I do think they're maybe overstepping their bounds on that one a little bit. And I do think there'll be adjustments made. You know how – remember last year in preseason, all the targeting?
Yes.
And then I can't recall – one game that I worked last year where there was a targeting call.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I do think there's an overreaction. Then there's a, now let's see, how's it really going to be played? And so I think they're smart enough and they'll figure it out. And
yeah,
everybody will figure it out. I mean,
I'm a legendary overreactor.
I got luck on an interception. I hit Jamie Dukes because I think he drove me so far off the line of scrimmage I needed cab fare to get back to the huddle after one play. So an interception, I blindsided his ass, and that was that was retribution on my part. Keith Uecker blindsided me one time. I went into Packers offensive huddle and called a defensive signal. So there you go. So yeah.
Maybe we need to take care.
Spiels, you know I love you, dude. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you as always, man.
All right.
See you, Chris.
Hey, get lower on those squats, Deacon. All right, I got to go. I got things doing.
I love you. Chris Spielman joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. To the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, we found out something about Monty Williams yesterday.
I've been really blessed to be able to spend time with the Patriots.
What? Ron Wolfley. We normally set him up to get angry. This time we'll set him up to be thrilled. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We got a new surprise. And I admit, and I'm going to keep saying it, I hope I've earned your respect as a talk show host, that I am someone that I'll always tell you what I think, and sometimes the local teams will get mad at me for it. And sometimes you'll get mad at me for it. You'll think, well, you're just saying that because the team's listening. No, I don't care if they're listening. But sometimes I think they're making the right move. I think if they're doing a good job, even if you don't like it, like the Paul Goldschmidt trade. I would think they should have got more. But I'm totally in favor with the philosophy of trading Paul Goldschmidt. And a lot of you are bent out of shape about that. You think I'm covering for the team. No, I think that was the right move. I see why you do it, and I agree. Well, the Monty Williams thing, every day that goes by, I hear something new about Monty Williams, and I think they got it more right than I did the day before.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was on board with it before they signed
him. My goodness.
And yesterday came another thing. He did the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast. Now, this is 2 days ago, and we did the best we could at cutting up some of the sound, as we call it in the business, to give some of it to you yesterday. But then we had a little bit more time to go through some of the things that Monty Williams said. And I think we would all agree the number one thing that all of us in this city need to be sold on is, will Robert Sarver stay out of the way? Will there be a clear? I believe an owner's job is to set the payroll. It's his money, so it's his right to say, this is what we're willing to do. Whether you like it or not, that is an owner's job.
Sure.
This is how far I'm willing to go. But then stay out of the way. Let basketball people make basketball decisions.
Correct.
And Monty Williams was asked about franchise ownership and how the owner should work and how things should go. And listen to the team reference that he dropped. Not because he respects them, because he actually spent time with them.
Ownership and the leadership of your ownership is key. And we've seen that in San Antonio with the Holt family. I've been really blessed to be able to spend time with the Patriots and learn from Jack Easterby, who's now with the Texans. And I've watched the Kraft family and how they are in lockstep with Belichick and Brady. All those guys are on the same page. They don't always agree. They have disagreements, but their success and their methods were a lot for me to learn from.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me right there?
I mean, as much as we hate the Spurs, okay, you're dealing with one of the best owners in all of professional sports, because how many of you know who the owner of the Spurs is?
Yeah, right.
Because he doesn't care if you know who he is. He doesn't do anything to get in the way, Peter Holt. And he just says, here you go. He just says, here you go. What do you need to do to make the franchise successful? And you can easily say, well, it's easy. They've won championships. No, he was doing that before they were winning championships, letting the people he hired do their job. And then he drops the Patriots reference. And you might think, well, it's easy. Everybody should emulate the Patriots. Monty Williams, and I don't know in what capacity yet. I admit, I've reached out, and I'm going to try to find out. But he says, I've spent time with the Patriots.
Yeah.
I really don't know to what extent. I don't know what that means. But I do read into that to say it's not just one beer with one guy. He said, I saw how the Kraft family was involved with Brady and Belichick. And yes, they disagree, but they're all on the same page.
Yeah, but Doug Lee, there's a hanging Chad here, is there not? Get to the Chad that hangs. Get to the Chad that hangs. What does this imply?
This implies that if I'm about ready to drop the names of two of the best ownership families in the history of American professional sports, and I know how they do it, I'm not just going to Devin Booker and saying, this is what this all-star does. I'm going to my owner and saying, here's what great owners have done that I've witnessed. And I hate to say aren't you doing it?
Here it is, the circumstantial evidence that we've been talking about. The circumstantial evidence surrounding Robert Sarver and whether or not there's going to be real change within the organization. I think this is confirmation of that. You don't bring up the Kraft family. You don't bring up the San Antonio Spurs and the New England Patriots. You don't bring those up and reference them on a podcast or otherwise without the implication that, you know what, I would never come here if in fact it was going to be anything less than what I think the ideal should be.
And the ability to say, hey, Robert, I've seen good ownership.
I honestly, right now, this fills me with a hope. Once again, the Phoenix Suns, I am so hopeful that the Phoenix Suns somehow, some way, they've hit the bottom of the barrel, ladies and gentlemen.
And they're coming back up.
They've hit the bottom of the barrel, and now it's all going to be about coming up.
Now, when we say coming up, I think 30 wins is a lot. I think so. I'm not trying to sell anybody that they're going to the playoffs next year. They're a championship contender, but 30 wins,
that's plus 11,
is a big time leap.
Obviously, being in San Antonio has helped in that situation there. But OKC is the same, you know, having been with Sam and watched him with that particular ownership group. It does start at the top, and you know, like we said earlier, it is their team, and their leadership is, you know, part of what you have to adopt.
Oh, my goodness.
When he says Sam, he means Sam Presti. And it's just so impressive listening to everything that this man says. You can't help but get excited.
You want to know what culture is? Just listen to Monty.
listen to Monty Williams. That's your culture. Starts there. Hopefully somebody's going to pick it up. He's going to model it for guys on the team and in the locker room, and they're going to go out and actually model it as well.
The stock can't get much lower, but it's hard not to declare yourself a buyer. Take a half day with the Arizona Diamondbacks and your favorite Arizona sports host on June 5th. You can get lower level game day tickets for only $9.87 as the D-backs take on the Dodgers. And we broadcast live from the Four Peaks Draft Room. Just text half to 620-620 and we'll send you the link to get your half day tickets for only $9.87. That's half to 620-620. Anybody remember when there was a limit on how long those are supposed to be? Coming up next, ESPN MLB analyst Tim Kirkjian on the rumors of Zach Greinke. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.